Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. The Bulls toiling in summer league play. They're 2-2 so far. They won their first game in the tournament competition. They beat the Dallas Mavericks 95-83, which means they move on to the winner's bracket for the final 16 teams, or I should say the final 14 teams. Kendall, it's been fun watching them.
Yeah.
You know, Wendell Carter Jr., one of the things that we talked about heading into the draft was that, you know, we didn't know if he was a polished offensive player.
Right.
But I think so far in these first four summer league games, mm-hmm. he's under control, he's very efficient, and he seems very confident with his moves in the low post.
Plays like a seasoned pro, Mark, and, you know, I like his ability to run the pick and roll, to roll effectively, because, you know, you have some big men that don't even know how to roll to the basket the proper way, and I'm watching his footwork. He does everything textbook, how big men are supposed to do it. Also, I like his ability to guard guys out on the perimeter and block shots. That means that you can switch off on him. To me, in these first four games, he's proved that he's what the five position has morphed into in this league now, and he can do it effectively. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, Clint Capella-like. I think that he's a better offensive player than Clint mm-hmm. Capella already, you know, and he's got a pro body already, and he plays under control. He looks like a 4 or 5 year vet out there playing in the past four games.
I think one of the reasons why a lot of Bulls fans and maybe even some mm-hmm. media members weren't too excited about Wendell Carter at seven was mm-hmm. he was playing in the shadow of Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
And Bagley is one of these explosive athletes. You know, mm-hmm. he can sky, get off the floor, he gets tip dunks, very exciting highlight reel plays, yeah. whereas Carter does some of the dirty work. But I think right. we've seen so far now that if you make him one of your primary options on offense, he knows what to do with the ball.
He does. He knows how to be. He has a high basketball IQ, higher than I thought. And just like other fans, I was enamored with Bagley. You know, I really wasn't watching mm-hmm. Wendell Carter. I was focused on Bagley. But I didn't know that he could do all the things and that he had all the tools in his toolbox that he has. And the thing is, he does it so smoothly. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like he uses a lot of effort. And, you know, that comparison of him and Al Horford, I think he's more polished than Al Horford at the same stage. He's more polished than Al Horford when Al Horford came in. You know, offensively he is.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch him. In the game they lost to Atlanta the other day, he showed his full arsenal of moves. Mm-hmm. He had the baseline, reverse, up and under. Yep. He had shot fake, drive, floater. Yep. He's got step back J. So, you know, it's not like they're going to have to do a lot of work to bring out his offensive game. He has those talents already at his disposal.
Yeah, you don't have to wait on it. You know, some rookies that come in, especially only spending 1 year in college, you think, oh, well, we're going to have to develop him on the offensive end. He's going to have to develop some moves. He already has that, you know, and now it's encouraging because now you got Lauri Markkanen who can score. You got a five now who can score. You got a point guard and a two guard that can score. With Chandler Hutchinson, when he comes along with his driving ability, you're going to have weapons at all five positions. And that's going to be hard for any NBA team to guard. I mean, I really like what Gar and Pax have done as far as putting these draft picks together. I wanted to draft. What's the kid from Villanova?
Mikal
Bridges. But I see now what Gar and Pax saw. You know, let's get a guy that can play alongside Lauri Markkanen for the next 8 to 10 years.
And it's important to point out that this is just summer league. He's not playing against elite defensive players, so he's going to look better just because mm-hmm. he's a better athlete. He's a more skilled player than some of the guys he's going up against. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the stuff, as you mentioned, is going to translate.
It will.
You know, a guy that can step out all the way to the NBA three-point line. Mm-hmm. He's knocked down some threes already. He looks pretty comfortable shooting from that distance. Yeah. And just his understanding of basic NBA offensive sets – I think he's going to be able to play right away. I know some Bulls fans are wondering, well, is he going to be in the starting lineup? I don't think it really matters whether you start him or Lopez. They're both going to play a lot.
They're both going to play a lot. Eventually, yes, he's going to be in the starting lineup. It depends on what they do with Robin Lopez. But, you know, he can serve up underneath Robin. Robin can mentor him. He can learn a lot from him. And, you know, maybe a year or two, he'll be ready to take over that starting position. He may take it over halfway through the season. You never know.
Mentioned Chandler Hutchison. He had his best game in the win over Dallas. 16 points, 11 rebounds. He had one play where he stole the ball, went down court, threw down a big dunk. Uh-huh. And we've seen the athleticism. Another time he tried to throw down a big dunk and got fouled and went to the free throw line. You can see that that's going to be a big part of his game, the fact he likes to slash and go to the hoop, and he also knows how to get those free points at the free throw line.
I love the way he takes the ball to the rack, you know, and the way that he can handle the basketball. He's creative when he goes to the basket. He's not afraid of guys when he goes to the basket, much like Lauri Markkanen is not afraid. They want to go in there and rip your head off when they go in for a dunk. But like you said earlier, it's going to take him some time to develop, but I really like his talent. You know, I really like his confidence. At 6'7", 6'8", I love the way that he can handle the basketball out on the perimeter. Gives you another guy you can give it to on the perimeter. So I really like the way that this future starting five is starting to take shape.
I think when they drafted Hutchison, they liked the idea that he could be a secondary shot creator from the wing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't have to rely on your point guard to break down the defense and get you into a favorable situation. Sometimes you can attack from the wing and accomplish the same thing. And I think they look at him as a guy that they really haven't had on this roster for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy really wasn't that kind of a player.
I
think he's a lot different than Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, he is. Jimmy was more give me the ball, grind it out.
More of a power
player. This guy is a slasher, get to the hoop, and can use his athleticism to do a lot of different things. That could be pass, score, get to the rack and get fouled. I think potentially he's probably a little bit better rebounder than Jimmy because of his athleticism. And also, like you said, creating. Jimmy's more so looked to score. This kid, you know, watching all of his highlights in college and throughout the summer league, he wants to get to the basket, and if he gets cut off, he'll give it up, you know, to somebody. And that makes you a triple threat. You know, you can get fouled, you can score, or you can get an assist from another guy.
I want to point out to all the folks that are listening that we're not saying that Chandler Hutchison is better than Jimmy Butler.
No,
Jimmy Butler's a legit top 15 player in the league.
Yeah.
He did a lot of great things with the Bulls, but he scored in different ways because he was so strong upper body. He could overpower guys.
Right.
And, you know, as he developed in his career, he was shooting 8 free throws a game just about because he was so strong he would draw those fouls. Hutchison does it in a different way. And again, this is sacrilege to say, but, you know, he's more of the Scottie Pippen type
where he's
out on the wing. And he's almost gives you guard skills in a forward's body.
Yeah.
And he's more happy, I think, to get an assist than he is to score like Pippen was.
He is. And, you know, he's lanky like Scotty, long arms. And, you know, you want guys like that that can do different things, that can make your team better. And then in the future, I think that he's going to be a nice scorer. Maybe he'll be 15 to 18 points a game eventually. But then you got to look at the 8 assists that he gets, then the 11 rebounds. You know, I played for the Charlotte Hornets, and Bob Bass, the GM at that time, used to always look at the stat sheet, and he wouldn't be enamored with guys who scored a lot. He would always say, look at the line, look at the line. And, you know, he loved guys that could fill the stat sheet.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Chandler Hutchison can do.
Yeah, Hutchison had a double-double against the Mavs, pulled down 11 rebounds. As you mentioned, he's done a nice job initiating offense as well. The wild card on this Bulls summer league team, and really the wild card going into his second NBA season, is Antonio Blakeney.
Yeah.
He'll either shoot you into it
or he'll shoot you out of it. Yep,
you know, he reminds me of a Jamal Crawford starter kit. You know, he takes a lot of crazy shots.
He does.
Sometimes it seems like he kind of short circuits where he gets playing too fast and he can't really control what he's doing out there. And I think that's one of the reasons why he got some chances with the Bulls as a two-way player last season, but I don't think the coaching staff fully trusted that he could be where he needed to be on the court on either end, offense or defense.
Yeah, and I think that he's a guy that can come off of the bench and ignite your team as far as if you need some scoring. Other than that, you know, I wouldn't look at him for being a two-way specialist, you know, and I think that you also have to look at the end, even though that he's played really well in the summer league, you still have to look at the development of Denzel Valentine over last season. Mm-hmm. Became a better shooter, better ball handler. And, you know, he can play three positions. He can play the point guard position, two and the three. So I don't know whether Blakeney can do all the things that, that Denzel can do, even though he's a legit scorer. You know, sometimes scoring isn't everything, but I do see a spot for him on the team if he can be a consistent scorer off of the bench, put him in for 4 or 5 minutes like Nate Robinson used to do, put him in for 4 or 5 minutes. If he has it going, leave him in. If he doesn't, pull him out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Fred Hoiberg and his staff structure their rotation, dish out playing time, because you have to figure out which guys play best with the other players on the floor. You know, I don't know if Lowry's better playing with Robin Lopez, or do you see that there could be a good working relationship between Wendell Carter and Lowry because they both can score inside and out?
I think it's going to be a good working relationship between both of them, because when you have two bigs like that, 6'10" and 7 foot tall, that can run the pick and roll together, that's going to be very hard for opposing teams to guard. You know, that's why I like the matchup of Nico Mirotic and Bobby Portis last year, because they would run pick and roll together and they would cause matchup problems for everybody. I think that Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter can do the same thing. And I'm pleased to see that Wendell Carter is comfortable, as you said earlier, shooting a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. You know, because big men, Mark, don't like to come all the way out there. You know, now what I'd like to see him do, he's done it in the summer league, get a pump fake from the three-point arc and drive the ball all the way to the basket. Now you become a big man's nightmare, because big men do not like to move their feet when they come out and challenge at the three-point line.
Moving away from the Bulls for just a second, you know, watching some of the other summer league action, it seems like the NBA marketing machine is always trying to figure out which guys they want to promote. We've seen a lot of DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, yeah.
He's played very well for the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
And the shining light on Trae Young, good, bad, or in between.
Yeah, they
always want to show Trae Young. Now, he had his best summer league game yet against the Bulls. Mm-hmm. He hit 7 threes, 7 out of 13 from three-point range. It just seems like wherever he plays – There's just a huge microscope on the kid. And you know what that's like as an NBA player when you come in as a high pick. Mm-hmm. How tough is it going to be for him as a rookie to adjust to guys being physical with him, trying to show that he doesn't really deserve all the attention?
It's going to be tough for him because, you know, one, they think already that all we have to do is be physical with this kid. And then secondly, they're going to say, well, you're going to have to earn your stripes. You know, there's only so many shots you can shoot at Steph Curry range and they go in. And you know, we're not going to allow that to happen. But he will adapt to it. You know, I think the spotlight will be on him at the beginning of the season. Eventually it will fade because the Atlanta Hawks, we know, are not going to be that good. But people will come in, pay to see him play. I mean, people identify with him because, you know, he plays an exciting style of basketball. But, you know, I'm happy to see that he's doing well in the summer league. I know his first couple games he struggled, but, you know, now it seems like he's starting to get used to everything. But my thing is this, Mark, how many shots is he going to take from that distance?
I know.
I mean, are the coaches going to allow that? I mean, it seems like almost every shot he takes is from 4 or 5 feet beyond the three-point
line. I think one of the things that's going to hurt him is, since he's with a bad team that's going to need scoring, they're probably going to let him go with some of that stuff.
Wow.
And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of shooting percentage he winds up with as a rookie and how might impact him as he goes forward. Because once you get labeled as a guy that's an inefficient player, it's kind of hard to shake that.
It is hard to shake it, and then that's when you need a lot of other good players around you so that all the pressure isn't on you. You know, if I were him, hey, you know, taking one of those every once in a while, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'd move it into further in, you know, I wouldn't shoot it three or 4 feet beyond the 3-point line. I know he has ability to hit that, but why not make it an easier shot by moving in a little bit and take the ball to the basket a little bit more as well?
One of the other matchups that was really hyped by the networks that are running the Summer League games was DeAndre Ayton against Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
And you saw what Ayton, with that NBA body, he kind of toyed with Bamba.
He did.
He had a huge advantage in all the counting stats. But just the way his offensive game is so much more advanced, whereas Bamba is still trying to figure out how to play as an NBA center.
Yeah, and, you know, that was going to happen. I don't know if you saw the video of Embiid. playing against Mo Bamba when he dunked on him and said, welcome to the NBA. you kind of knew that's what DeAndre Ayton was going to do to him as well. I'm sure DeAndre Ayton saw that video too and said, I'm just going to be physical with Mo Bamba. Yeah. But they're night and day right now. You know, and eventually I think that Mo Bamba will catch up, but he's got to physically get a lot stronger over the next couple of years to even compete with a guy like DeAndre Ayton or Joel Embiid.
I know one guy you weren't super high on going into the draft was Kevin Knox from Kentucky. He's been getting a lot of love during summer league play. Mm-hmm. Again, we have to emphasize, they're not always going against the best competition. Right. He's been scoring a lot. Mm-hmm. He's been getting the rim and throwing down some dunks. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's made him more effective is that he's gotten in better shape than he was during the college season. But New York is so dying to try to find a guy that they can pair with Porzingis. Do you think there's maybe a little bit more with Knox's game than what you thought when you saw him at Kentucky, or you still have the same kind of...
I still have the same feeling about him. You know, I think that I want to see him play with the real guys, you know, before I can give an opinion on whether he'll be able to really help out Porzingis. You know, anytime a guy's motor doesn't run high in college, that concerns me. You know, I wasn't worried about that with the draft picks that the Bulls drafted this year, because I watched both of these guys in college and I'm not concerned about their heart or their motor. But anytime a guy plays laid back basketball, always a concern to me, because that's the way he's going to be in the pros as well. Yeah. So.
Looks like NBA free agency, at least the most interesting elements of it, are pretty much wrapped up.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just some restricted guys who are waiting to see if somebody's going to extend them an offer sheet. One of the interesting situations, and I know if you're a regular listener of the Bulls Talk podcast, you're probably always wondering why you guys keep talking about Jabari Parker. Well, he's a good kid, first of all.
Yeah, he is.
Chicago guy, Simeon High School, had some, you know, some great success. You know, then he went to Duke. He was a highly regarded player. You know, people thought that he was going to be take the league by storm. He had the unfortunate injuries. But now Milwaukee's in a situation where, because of salary cap technicalities, they can only pay him about $15 million. If some team were to really make a big offer, they could just take him away because Milwaukee couldn't match. They wouldn't be allowed to match.
Yeah, they could. And if I were the Milwaukee Bucks, I would be terrified right now, you know. And the only concern is those two ACL injuries. You know, no team is going to rush to give Jabari Parker a great deal of money because of that concern. But if I'm another team, he is a talent. But before he had his second ACL injury, he was playing at all-star level. And we all know that you don't really return to your 100% self until the second year after that injury. This is the second year. So whoever signs him, they may get dividends right away, you know. And I don't know what the Bulls are thinking right now, but they can get him for a lot cheaper than everybody else thought that you could get him for. What do you think?
Well, there's been reports that the Bulls are still showing some interest in Rodney Hood, and Cleveland is in a similar situation as Milwaukee is, where, you know, they've got a high payroll and they just lost LeBron James. Yeah. So they stay with that high payroll and continue paying luxury tax, or do you just start selling off some of these assets? Like, if you made an aggressive offer for Rodney Hood, could you get him? I would be more inclined, if I was the Bulls, if they were going to go that route, to make an aggressive pitch for Rodney Hood. I think he would be your starting three from day one. Whereas Jabari, I think, is better at the four spot.
Right.
And the way the game's played today, you're just looking for basketball players. You know, you're looking for a couple of guards or a point guard, two wings and two bigs, and you just figure it out from there. But I just feel like Rodney Hood would be a better get for the Bulls at this point.
No, I understand your thing. I mean, I think so as well. He's averaging 17 points a game before the trade to Cleveland last year. Got in Ty Lue's doghouse for some reason, but the games that he did play in the finals and in the playoffs, he played pretty well, you know, and he showed glimpses of what he could do. So, you know, I actually like him with this team. I think that his style of basketball fits with this team. I mean, a lefty, a guy that can shoot the three-point shot, guy that slashes to the hoop. So, you know, I'm in agreement with you on that one, Mark.
Over half the league is projected to have significant cap space next year. Everyone's talking about the fact that the cap's going up. But the problem for the Bulls is if they try to hold their cap space over till next year, there's going to be some strong competition. The L.A. Clippers, you know, with Jerry West and Doc Rivers and that group,
they're going to get
somebody. Have two max slots, and, you know, they could be a big player. So I guess what the Bulls front office has to decide do we make our play now to mm-hmm. try to get a guy in at a so that can grow with our group, or do we just roll it over and wait till next year? That's always a danger because you may not get anybody, right. and then you've got all these guys that are going to be due contract extensions, and all that cap space goes away.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough situation. But really, is there anybody out there of significance right now that could drastically change the direction of this
no.
team? So I'm probably just going to sit tight.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best course of action. Yeah, I mean, if you bring in either Rodney Hood or Jabari Parker, you might win three or four more games than you would have without them.
Right.
But is it really worth that kind of investment? Because as we know from last week, the fan base is pretty divided on whether or not matching Zach LaVine was a good decision. To me, and I know you've talked about this in the last Bulls Talk podcast, that was a no-brainer for me.
A
23-year-old guy who was going to be, so much better this year with a full summer to work, to build chemistry with Dunn and LaVine and Carter as they head into training camp. Mm-hmm. I think Zach LaVine's going to be night and day from what we saw in those 24 games.
I think he is, too. And the fans don't understand. He had all kinds of restrictions on him when he returned last year. He showed glimpses of the player that he eventually will be. Didn't play with – how many games did he play with Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn?
It's only a handful,
total.
Like six.
Only like six games he played with those three. So, and the lineup changes all the time, and then they shut him down. So, you know, he really couldn't get in a rhythm or a groove. So, you really – I know what he can do. You know what he can do. But the fans – It's like they wanted an all-star right away. Well, he's not going to do that. I mean,
they expected to see the guy who won the two slam dunk titles, who shot almost 40% in Minnesota.
Exactly.
They expected that from day one.
Exactly. And you're not going to get that from day one from a guy coming off of ACL injury and also a guy who's playing with mixed match lineups and who's on a minutes restriction. But he is working his butt off this summer. I think he's going to come back and be a great two-way player. He knows he has improved defensively, and now he's not going to have any restrictions on him. A new contract. This guy he's going to come in here. I think he's going to have a great, great year.
And as you know, sometimes the doubters can serve as quite a source of motivation
for
an athlete.
Oh yeah, and he knows that. Mm-hmm. He knows, and he's going to come in here and try and prove that. Listen, I'm worth the contract, and also all you guys saw was a glimpse of me last year. That's it. I wasn't 100%. Now look at me when I'm 100%.
Two things before we get out of here. Curious about your thoughts about Carmelo Anthony. He had his worst season as a pro, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's played 15 years in the league. His body, I think, is starting to wear down a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's working on either a buyout or a trade from Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Looks like good chance he'll end up in Houston. What kind of fit is he with James Harden and Chris Paul? I know that Chris Paul and he are buddies, but I don't know if it's a great fit on the basketball.
He's going to do the same thing he did at Oklahoma City. He's just going to sit over in the corner and wait for the basketball. Because we know Harden is going to run the pick and roll with Clint Capella. Chris Paul is going to run the pick and roll with Clint Capella. And, you know, then the leftovers will go to Carmelo Anthony. I think he's still a capable scorer. You know, but he's not the focal point of any offense right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know how well he can function in that role. I liken him to who is a great player, Antoine Walker. Antoine Walker's strong suit was scoring, but he couldn't really do anything else. You know, that's what keeps you in a league for so long. I mean, and Carmelo Anthony's been in the league 15 years because he's such a great player. Antoine Walker had a long career, but in order to be an effective player, if you can't score, you got to be able to rebound really well, or you got to be able to stop somebody, or you got to be able to bring the basketball up, run the offense, make assists. You got to make your teammates or your team, you got to be valuable in some other facet of the game. And Carmelo Anthony is great in one facet, that's scoring. And the Houston Rockets don't need that because they got two guys that can do that already.
They'll probably end up there, and then they'll realize that it was money that was not well spent. Although they'll get them for the veterans minimum, so it won't be a huge financial outlay. But they lost Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute, who were both defensive-minded forwards, who they could use as weapons against Golden State. Now those guys are gone.
Now those guys are gone. Leaves a big hole in your defense. Trevor Ariza, you know, and he's an unsung hero. A lot of people don't understand that you need guys like that in order to be successful, because not only can he shoot the three-point shot, but defensively, he stopped a lot of people. You know, and he was also one of those tough guys that you need in your locker room also. Now, they got another guy that can score, you know, and no defense,
right,
except for Clint Capela.
The other restricted free agent we haven't mentioned, Marcus Smart, supposedly is drawing interest from the Sacramento Kings. They didn't get Zach LaVine, so they're thinking maybe they'll extend another big offer sheet. Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart, at the day they got limited from the playoffs, said, "I'm worth more than $12 to $14 million a season because of my intangibles." Well, if Sacramento does give him a big offer sheet, I think Boston might let him walk because they got three max players. You got the two young guys in Brown and Tatum who may be max players. You can't pay everybody. So Marcus Smart,
I think they will welcome that.
Yeah.
they will welcome. And Marcus Smart is a pretty good player, you know. And, yeah, he does bring a lot of intangibles. But when you got Jaylen Brown, Tatum, and all those other guys, Kyrie coming back, those guys can play. Those guys can do what Marcus Smart does. You know,
Terry Rozier showed well in the playoffs.
Terry Rozier, except for the 0-for-10 game from 3-point line, can play really well. So Marcus Smart, even though he's a valuable piece, you can live without him because you have another guy to take his spot.
And if he winds up in Sacramento, he may find out exactly what life is like on the other side.
He's not going to like it.
Remember Danny Ainge went to Sacramento after he played all those years in Boston. He probably realized how good it is to play in that Celtic green with a winning team.
Yep.
Orange and blue night at Guaranteed Rate Field. Yep. Kendall Gill threw out the first pitch. A little bit low and outside, but not like a lot of people. You were right there on the mound.
Right.
You know, and I know that you said baseball was your first love, so what did it feel like to be out there?
Oh, it was great. You know, and actually, you know, my cousin and I, who actually passed away 4 years ago yesterday, used to dream about playing at Comiskey Park.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was running out to the mound, I was thinking about him, you know. And, you know, it was just great. My sons got to see me go out there and throw the ball. But the interesting thing, Mark, I didn't get a chance to warm up, right? I thought I was going to at least throw about 10 pitches to get warmed up. Right before I walk out on the field, the guy hands me the ball. I was like, okay,
here you go.
Let's go. I'm like, what? I don't get a warm up? So he's like, no. So I haven't thrown a baseball in like 2 years, right? So I go out there and I throw the pitch, and actually they clocked me at 88.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they clocked me at 88.
Yeah, good action on it.
Good action. I said I still got the speed on my fastball, but no control, man. You know, so I threw it low into the outside. But it was fun though.
Yeah, we were like, did you see some old friends from Illinois when you were out there?
Oh yeah, I saw some, and then after the game we got to sit up in the stands, and I got a chance to talk with a lot of the alumni and everything. It was a good night for me and my family, and you know, just great. Anytime you get a chance to go see pro baseball and you know, catch some foul balls, you know. Have a good time. And, you know, my boys love that atmosphere because they're not in that atmosphere all the time. They're in a basketball atmosphere. So it's good to put them in a different setting.
Well, unfortunately, the summer activities kind of winding down in the NBA. Summer League will end on Tuesday the 17th, and there'll be a little bit of straggling of player movement, maybe a couple of trades. Mm-hmm. But training camps open at the end of September, so it's really not that far away. What did you like to do as a player during this time as you're gearing up for the start of training camp?
I was out on my boat.
You got to get some free time.
I was out on my boat at that time when I had a boat back then. You know, I had free time. And, you know, back then, we didn't have summer leagues.
Right.
You know, it was like, okay, at the end of the season, okay, we'll see you at training camp.
But you played in the Chicago Pro-Am.
But I played in the Chicago Pro-Am. I would do that. During this time, it was all about maintaining, building your strength, taking care of your body. And then about August 15th, that's when I would step it up to get ready for training camp. So at this point, Mark, I was probably out on Rush Street, Tavern on Rush, having, you know, dinner, watching the city walk by with my patented Shirley Temple.
Drinking Shirley Temples, folks. He was always taking care of his body. Everybody's taking it easy right now, getting ready for the start of the new season, except for Lauri Markkanen. He's on the Arnold Schwarzenegger Pump You Up program.
Yeah.
He's jacked.
Yeah, so he is.
He's ready to roll for year two.
Yeah, I hope so. But, you know, you got to be careful with those weights.
That's true.
Okay,
too,
because if you put on too much muscle, that'll affect you in training camp. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't even touch weight. I would all do body calisthenics, pull-ups, push-ups, dips. That way you keep your speed and everything. So if I had one thing to say to Lauri,
Lauri,
do some push-ups and pull-ups and dips.
Leave
those weights alone.
Be careful,
man,
with that weight training.
Right.
You don't want to lose that feathery touch
exactly
on the jump shot. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Bulls Talk Podcast. For Kendall Gill, I'm Mark Schanowski. We'll be back at you again real soon. Remember, you can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. You also can listen and subscribe at Apple, Google, and Stitcher Play. We will talk to you again very soon.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.